Every entrepreneur has been there.
Growing pains
obstacles make you
growth
stronger.
Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
We don't really think about ourselves as an AI company. We think about ourselves as that we use AI as a tool to solve a business problem. I love technology, but I don't love technology just for technology's sake. I want to always deploy the things that are going to impact the customer, the business, the best.
In January 2023, ChatGPT burst onto the scenes and the collective consciousness about how we can use AI in business. And now, a year later, business leaders are wondering how and if they should use it. Let's talk about some of the problems. As my guest on the show today, Chuck Elias, will tell you, we've had conversational AI as a concept for a while. We've had bots online and live chats for the last 7 years, let's call it. But they're problematic. And everybody was like, I don't want a bot. I don't want to offer live chat. Here are all the problems with it. I think you know what they are, right? Live chat, high human resource intensive, people not available, people working in different time zones, people in meetings, really high human resource required. And because of that, people started to streamline and say, hey, we should just have like certain topics that they can click through and make it conversational. But everyone was like, this doesn't feel human. I clicked on the wrong thing, or I didn't get the answer I want. This is frustrating. They felt too limited in the conversation, right? So that was like conversational AI version one. And we've had that for 7 years. When ChatGPT came on the scene, suddenly we had generative AI. And that in the last year has turned it around so that everyone's like, well, you can get an answer on anything. And company and brands are like, but is it the right answer? Did we give the wrong answer? And even if you gave the wrong answer 20% of the time, it still hurts your brand. There's the other piece about generative AI that is also problematic in that, where is the answer coming from? Who got to decide that? And nobody has control over it. So people are not only getting the wrong answers, they're getting problematic answers and possibly morally infringing answers, or giving answers that your competitors would give, not you. So wrong in lots of different ways. So on the right hand, we had conversational AI and it was problematic. It was too limiting. On the left hand, we had generative AI and it was also problematic because it was giving wrong answers and questionable answers. But in the middle, there's a sweet spot. And that sweet spot in the middle, Chuck will tell you, is curated conversational AI. And it does not have the problems of conversational AI, because while it is conversational, it is actually not so limited. That person can ask anything and it can recognize those questions, or it can give you an I don't know the answer to that question. The bot is not trying to be everything to everybody. It's trained on certain topics and it is able to clearly communicate and let the conversation flow off of those topics, but it is not there to limit or restrict conversation. And when it doesn't know the answer, just like a teacher in a classroom who's like, I have to look that up and get back to you tomorrow, Johnny. The bot understands that it can do that too. And there's a human on the other side who's watching for those I don't know answers to retrain the bot. Generative AI is also less than curated conversational AI, because instead of a company having to worry about getting the wrong answer or the wrong answer going out there without them knowing, the brand puts together the curated version of the correct answers on the things your customers and prospects are aching to know. And you don't even know that they're necessarily asking, but gives you a way to track that they're asking, to improve the answers, and to also give them a set of answers that you would be happy with as a brand to protect and enhance your brand and the lead or customer's experience of it. In this episode of the Company Growth Podcast, we're going to talk with Chuck Elias, who's been using AI to solve business problems since 2016, well before ChatGPT arrived. Chuck Elias is the CEO of 42chat, the leading provider of conversational, curated AI solutions and text-based AI chatbots. What makes Chuck the perfect person to talk to about AI is that he's not developing and selling AI for AI's sake. As you'll hear, 42chat is built around solving business problems and solving it in a way that's going to be meaningful for not just the company for once, because most sales processes and most businesses tend to be way too self-serving, but solving for the customer in a way that will be meaningful for that lead or customer. In this conversation with Chuck, we're going to talk about a ton of use cases to help you see where curated conversational AI might be able to help you engage and retain your leads and customers too. How did you get into this line of work at 42 Chat?
You know, my career, going back many years, has always been focused on trying to unlock potential in businesses and teams and ideas. And I've done that as a consultant, as an executive with big companies like GE and Home Depot and with startups. And often a big part of unlocking potential has been figuring out how to smartly use technology to solve business problems and improve results. And that's how I got here to 42 Chat.
How did you guys find out the concept for 42 Chat?
You know, it really evolved from thinking about how to solve business problems. And and what we discovered with 42 Chat and with Scienceo before that was this simple concept that conversational AI was now becoming mainstream, that you could use conversational AI to solve business problems, right? And the first place we looked and we said, wait, if I could put conversational AI and combine it with text, then I would solve this really hard problem that every business has, which is, how do I provide high quality customer support? How do I allow them to get the information? How do I allow a customer, a user, to get the information anytime, anywhere, instantly? And so when we figured out that we could use conversational AI to do that, we said, oh, wow, there's all these places we could apply this solution for all kinds of different business problems. And so that's really where Scienceo and then 42 Chat came from.
And I want to talk about an analogy that I'm going to liken you to for the first time. We're going to talk about whether it works, but you're kind of like the self-serve checkout of the business communication world. And I see that because there was a while with self-serve checkout in grocery stores that people are like, why would I ever want to like bag my own groceries and scan my own groceries? But that took the world by storm, and everybody has that now. We have fewer cashiers. But you guys are a little bit like that too, because when you want to know the answer to something from a customer, and you yourself have so many examples of this that I'd love for you to give us, where you're going to your doctor's office or whatever, you're like, why didn't you just text that to me? Why didn't you just tell me that so I could be prepared before I arrive to this event? And I know during the pandemic, you guys had a massive influence on a lot of businesses and their ability to operate within the guidelines of health and safely. So why don't you talk us through a little bit about why like people just are so excited about how you solve this demand for self-serving access to information?
You know, it's interesting when you talk about self-checkout. So years ago, I was with Home Depot, and I was responsible for in Northern California for rolling out self-serve checkout in Home Depot. And everybody's like, that can never work. Why would that ever work in a big home improvement store? And it turned out later that if you're around San Francisco, heavy tech community, that we actually put in more self-checkout stands than you would have regular lanes, because the users, the customers who came through, preferred that. They wanted to do it themselves. So I mean, this is kind of a universal thing that we all have, right? Which is, if I can get the answer on my own, I'm going to do it. I mean, in some ways, in many cases, it's a little bit of a male thing, right? Like, I'm never going to ask for directions. I don't need help. But it's that aspect of, well, if I can get the information and if it's easy and low friction to do it, then I want to be able to get it myself. And in many times, you know, when we think about customer support or service or anything like that, any barrier to interaction means that you're going to get less of it. So even if you have the friendliest staff in a business, people are still going to go, well, I don't want to bother them with this question, right? There's a group of people that will always feel that way. And so if I can lower that bar to interaction, then I'm going to get more engagement. I'm going to learn more about what you're concerned about, what you're interested in. And any time we can do that, we really change the game from a service standpoint. So that's really what we do. We say, look, if I can give you a low friction way to get information. So everyone has text. So why don't you just text it like you would a family or a friend? If you can text a bot or a virtual assistant, ask a question the way you normally would, and you get an instant answer, wow, that's pretty impressive. That's faster than doing it in any other way you can do it. So anytime you can lower that friction, remove those barriers, you're going to get more interaction, you're going to get more satisfaction. And even though people are spending more time, even like self-checkout example, you'll spend longer in self-checkout than you will going through a register line, but you'll be more satisfied that you did it yourself, even though it took longer. It's just a fascinating experience that everyone feels.
I want to get some technical specifics here on the product. So tell me about how this works in a trade show bot, and then I would love to hear about TourneyBot, and I don't know if you want to talk about Health Shield today, but maybe some of those very specifics of use cases I think would really help people understand what are we talking about here on a practical level.
Sure. You know, when we started way back in 2016, we thought about, we don't really think about ourselves as an AI company. We think about ourselves as that we use AI as a tool to solve a business problem. And that's our emphasis all the time. I always tell people I love technology, but I don't love technology just for technology's sake. I'm just not interested in, oh, let's just go deploy the latest, greatest thing. I wanna always deploy the things that are gonna impact the customer, the business, the best. So when we started, if you think about a trade show or a conference, there's a really difficult business problem that they have. You know, a few days before the event, no one is here. But today, thousands of people are descending upon that location and they've all got questions. You know, where do I park? How much are tickets? Where do I check in? Whatever it is. And even if you have tons of highly trained staff, which you never do and you can never afford, but even if you did, it's impossible to answer every question in real time and keep everyone satisfied, right? So that's the hard, difficult business problem. So we created event bots to solve this problem, right? So attendees just text their questions to a bot, just like you would, again, over regular SMS, and they get an instant answer. And we humanize these bots by giving them a name and an avatar and a personality. And we discovered that by doing this, then the bots weren't seen as a technology anymore. They were seen as a team member. And that changed everything, right? In fact, many of our clients, they have a mascot running around that's the same as their bot avatar, right? Is so that people get, oh, wait, hey, what is that? Or they have shirts that say, have a question, ask Betty, or whatever the name of the bot is. And so by solving this really difficult problem, extreme levels of customer support at scale from nothing to thousands, right, using conversational AI and text, when we figured that problem out, how to solve that, it turned out that we can solve all these other problems. And we do it because we don't really think about that we're an AI company. We use AI to solve a business problem. And that's really what 42 Chat's about.
And you've done some other cool things, like let's talk about TourneyBot, how that solves problems for parents, like where's my next game? And it's not just where's the Wi-Fi at a conference and can you ask them to turn up the volume in the keynote speaker or in my little session? Like that's the level of customer service, the business problem that can be solved at an event. It can be that granular, individual to individual. I need the sound up. It's too quiet in room A35. But TourneyBot is like all these. Like you talk about it because I can explain it. But
yeah, so it's interesting, right? So it's a similar problem that you have, but you have all these different audiences inside of a tournament, right? So what do you have? If you think about a tournament, what do you have? You have a bunch of teams, you have coaches, you have parents, you have a tent that's selling swag, that's selling t-shirts and all that stuff. So you have all these different things that are going on at a tournament, right? And so if the core question that if you're a parent, you're asking is, wait, where's our game, right? If you're a coach, it might be, hey, where's the first aid tent? Where's the coaches meeting? Those types of things. But because I've got everyone connected to this bot, to this TourneyBot, and I understand identity. So what I mean by that is we have, for every single individual, we have their phone number, their mobile phone number, which is their unique ID. And in many ways in today's world, a mobile number is just become, it's in the US, it's more important than your social security number, right? It is the way to reach me. It's not the way to reach my family. It's not the way to reach a business. It's the way to reach me, right? So I have identity through this phone number. And that means that all your conversations that you have with me through that bot and through that phone number are tagged to you so I can see exactly what you're asking. What do you need? But that also means that I now can communicate to you just those things that matter. So you could be on a specific team and we could say, oh, let me just communicate to that team or that parents of that team or whatever group we wanted to, rather than communicating to everyone. And during COVID, this was really amazing, right? Because we had, so if you think about what you had to do for COVID, it started with symptom screening. Remember that? You'd have to go in and say, I'm symptom free. You had to do it for everything, on a plane or, but we had schools that were using our Health Shield product, which was basically every single morning, every student, every teacher, everyone who entered that building would have to attest that they did not have any symptoms of COVID. And they couldn't walk through the door unless they had this green check that said, I'm symptom free. Well, how do you organize when you've got, you know, a elementary school, a middle school, a high school, you've got people in different home, you've got kids in different home rooms, and you have, you know, whatever, 1,500 people every single morning having to do a symptom screen. And how do you know when someone either failed because they said, oh, I have symptoms, or didn't complete the screen and therefore can't get in the building? Well, you know, every single morning we had schools where, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 people, students, parents of students were doing this test. We're doing this testing, you know, that they were symptom free. And you would only have maybe 9 or 10 students would have to go to the nurse because either they had a symptom, or they said they had a symptom, or they didn't get their symptom screening done. But you can't, you don't want to give universal, you know, it's trying to look, have somebody look through, you know, whatever, 1,500 records to say what, you know, who didn't get in doesn't work. But because I could segment each student to each classroom, assigned to a teacher, to each group, oh, you're in band. Okay, so the band coach or the band instructor could say, oh, here's everybody here. Okay, they're all good. They can come in, or the soccer team. So this ability to do this extreme segmentation based on identity, to put groups together and to communicate just what you need to that group, that targeted level of messaging is really transformational across all levels. Right. So it's not just, you know, in that case, but it's about, oh, I need to get something important out to just this group, or I want to communicate to the people that are going to buy something. Right. So I'm not going to send out to the exhibitors, the swag tent is open. Right. Or, hey, we got a store open, or enter a raffle that's for the fans. Right. But I can communicate just to the fans, hey, something's happening and you should go over here and do this. So it's pretty amazing the level of segmentation we can get, the level of customization you can get around solving these really difficult challenges.
So you also see that around that same time that you guys released your Health Shield product, there was also an opportunity at the same time, and you've continued with it, with crisis communications. Can you speak into a little bit about how conversational AI with 42chat is solving that big problem for organizations?
Yeah, so one of the, we always talk about, you have to have a community. A community has to exist, or you have to create it before you can communicate with them, right? I mean, this idea that somehow, you know, just go out and buy a bunch of phone numbers and text people and they'll love it, it's just BS, right? It just isn't really fact. It's kind of marketing hyperbole. But if you have a community, and in our world, what that means is you're already connected to our bot. We're engaging with you. You're asking questions. What you might have been, you got a registration confirmation, or you asked about what should I wear, what's the weather, what's the schedule. You asked something, so you're engaged with the bot. Once I have that connection as an organizer or a planner, I can, if I need to get something out there, I can communicate. It could be something nominal, like, hey, the keynote speaker is delayed, you know, 15 minutes or something like that. It could be something really innocuous and not super, super critical, or it could be critical, which is active shooter, shelter in place, right? How do you communicate instantly to everyone that's at an event? And that's embedded in our solution, because once I have this connection, I have a way to reach you. And in fact, you know, we've had scenarios, you know, not good scenarios, right? But with scenarios where at an event, something tragic happened. And the organizers need to be able to communicate to everyone quickly. But think about it. If you had to do that at anything, I mean, for example, we had an event where it was in Cancun and all of the guests were on the beach. How do you communicate to everybody on the beach quickly? It's almost impossible. Right? I mean, you just can't. What do you have, loudspeakers? I mean, what would you do? But in this case, they were already connected to the bot. And so they were able to immediately communicate that it turned out there was an active shooter. And they, you know, shelter in place or get off the beach, and were able to communicate that message. And because it was over text, it's almost instant, and everyone reads it, because we all read our text, right? That's just what we do. But you can imagine what's the other alternative. You're going to send them an email. You're going to send them an app notification and expect them to read it or post something on social. None of that would work, right? So you need this channel. And when you have this channel, you've connected one-to-one through text, then you can use it when you need to for critical communication, and it's life-saving.
And I know how important that is to you, this concept of having a community. Particularly as we talk about conversational AI, we're going to talk about that more in a second, but that concept of the community is so important, because I know you are dead set against ruining text by making it this spammy channel. So why don't you talk about how you have assurances in place to be like, this is not spam blasting or SMS blasting. This is not that. This is curated conversational AI that brings value to the person who's going to get the text in a way that they want, or who's going to be able to ask a question to the texting line.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about text as, and I believe it's the most powerful customer engagement channel of our time, right? And if you think about this, there's actually four other customer engagement channels that have evolved over time, right? There's the web. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when there weren't websites, right? Where there was a web, and then there's email, and then there's apps, and then there's social, right? So every one of these were super, super powerful customer engagement channels that arose. And what happened? Customers went to them and they started using them. So businesses said, I got to be there because that's where my customer is. And they were wildly successful, and they continue to be, right? There's no business out there today that says, oh, I'm not going to have a website. I'm not going to think about email marketing or maybe an app or a social strategy. I'm not going to do any of that. So everybody does that. Everybody does it. But if you look today and you said, where are people living? Where do people live their lives? They live it in text. That's how we communicate with our family and friends. Text has a 98% read rate, and it's a pure one-to-one channel. It's how do I reach you, right? And in most cases, these messages are read. They're almost always certainly read. And in many cases, they're read in less than 5 seconds, right? I mean, you just think about our own experience, right? We're just paying attention to that channel. But the problem is, if I walked up to you and I said, hey, Alicia, give me your mobile number. I want to send you a bunch of text. Right? What would you say?
Absolutely not.
Right. You're going to say no. I mean, of course. Why? Because I don't know if you're going to give me anything of value. And more importantly, if you start just sending me texts, right, like you do for email or app notifications, I read every one of them, and it becomes really quickly annoying, and it's seen as spam. And more importantly, as a user in text and SMS, you know, the user controls opt-in, right? And the surest way to get blocked is to just send people things that they consider to be low value. And there's a concept that my business partner Bob and we were doing email marketing years and years ago with Home Depot, and you know, he would tell me, spam is in the eye of the beholder. So when I got that message, did I consider it to be valuable? Right? Did I trust the source? Did I consider it to be valuable? And like I said, that's why kind of pure SMS marketing doesn't work. But bots overcome this challenge, right? Because what we can do through a bot is we're going to deliver instant value. Users get the answers how, when, and where they want, right? They get them instantly, and that's value. They say, wow, you know, I interacted with you and I asked a question and I got an answer back. And that creates high levels of satisfaction, right? So when you do that, you build trust, right? And because what you're really showing is a customer first approach to support. Hey, I'm here for you. Ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer, and I'll give you the help you need, right? But what businesses get, what we get is we get opt-in, right? And with that opt-in, now I have the opportunity to deliver more value, build more trust, and retain opt-in, right? And once we've kind of done this, right, we now have this powerful new one-to-one customer engagement channel that people trust, that my community trusts, right? And then what can I do with it? Oh, wow, now I can do amazing things. I can enhance my brand. I can be seen as innovative. I can protect my brand in an emergency by getting messages out. I can gain and retain customers. I can capture and act on insights because I'm capturing everything that's ever said around that user. And I know who you are because you're interacting with me over time, right? And this leads to all kinds of opportunities around increasing sales, improving retention, and lowering support costs. So it's the most phenomenal customer engagement channel that exists. But you have to do it in a way that's going to build trust. And that's what we do when we deploy our bots and we support our clients in that way.
That's like a perfect segue into let's talking about AI and the brand value that you bring, which is enhance and protect your brand with the AI that you're doing, which is different to some of the other instances of AI that we're seeing out there in the marketplace. And I know AI is all over the world right now, and it's in conversations with everybody in business. But how are you as a company standing out with AI services amongst the recent popularity and buzz of it all? Let's talk a little bit about this enhance and protect your brand piece of your AI solution.
You know, I always talk about AI is neat and cool and exciting, but it's a little scary. And for most of our clients, it's because it's something they've experienced, but they don't really understand how it works. They don't understand how to apply it in the right way. And so whenever we're working with clients, we just step back and we don't focus on the AI because the AI is a secondary. We're solving a business problem, right? What we do is we talk about what jobs are they hiring the AI and the bot to do, right? And if we focus on these key jobs and doing those really well, then our clients begin to see how they can work in practice, you know, to improve their business. They gain confidence, our clients gain confidence in the tool, and the end user gains confidence in the tool and the solution that we're doing that. And for us, what doing a few key jobs really well means is delivering a 95% correct response rate on what the bot was hired to do. So whatever those topics were, as soon as the bot goes live, it needs to deliver that level of correct response rate. And this is critical because when you deploy a bot with anything less than a 95% correct response rate, and many call centers, many bots out there are shooting for an 80% correct response rate. But think about that just in your head. So if one out of five times you get the wrong answer or you're not sure if it's the right answer, you're not really going to trust that source, right? You're not going to go back to it. And that's where a lot of website bots fail, right? So that because they have that low correct response rate, because they really weren't designed to deliver a great experience and a high correct response rate, it's a frustrating experience. Users don't really trust that bot, and then they slowly abandon the channel. Right. So in our world, what we do is we say, let's focus on the core jobs. Let's make sure the bot does it to a really high standard. Right. And then let's listen to everything else. Right. Now, here's a really important point that correct response rate does not mean that the bot knows everything. It means it knows what it knows and knows what it doesn't know. And that second part, knows what it doesn't know, is probably more important than what it knows, right? And think about it. If you hired someone to work, let's say in your store, you would expect them to know about the different products you offer. But if somebody came up to them and asked them a question about a product and they didn't know the answer, you wouldn't want them to just make it up, right? You would want them to say, oh, sorry, I don't know that, but let me help you get the answer. Let's figure out how we can get that answer together. Right? It's the same way with a bot. If the bot doesn't know the answer, then it's going to say, oh, I don't know that. I wasn't trained on it. I don't understand the question, right? And then it's going to refer that user, that customer, to whatever alternate support channel that you already have in place. You have some other way. There's somebody else they could go to. There's some other source they can go to. So we're going to refer them there. But here's the kind of the magic, if you will, or something that's just pretty amazing. But we captured that conversation. Right. So the bot automatically captured for that individual what they said, when they said it, what they needed. Right. We captured that record. And now we can look at that and we can say, is this something the bot should be trained on? So it doesn't have to go somewhere else. It doesn't have to go to another human. The bot can solve that problem. And so if it can do that, it gets smarter, it solves more needs over time. And our, when our clients experience this, we say, start small, start more narrow, right? Listen to what your customers want. And when they start to see this cycle of the bots delivering on immediate needs, it's learning other needs, it's growing and expanding, once they discover that kind of cycle, a virtuous cycle of improvement and learning and taking on more and more, it's kind of like their heads explode because they start to go, wait, can I use this with my in HR with my team? Can I use it in IT? Can I use it with supply chain? Where else can I use that? And that's the exciting part of what we do.
And you're talking about, you know, building that trust and building that community. So you can go to an event 1 year, let's say, and say after that event, you're used to texting the line and you can say, oh, can I know what the dates are for that conference next year? So year round, that community can build as well. But every time I know that I text that bot, I'm getting an accurate answer. And when it doesn't give me the, when it doesn't know the answer because it hasn't been trained on it, it gets flagged. So it can be run up the flagpole to say, oh, let's get an answer together for this because it would scale. Everybody's going to have this question about dates for next year. And so the whole community can grow and the trust can grow with it. Whereas a lot of people didn't know about AI until January 2023 when ChatGPT came into the market. And you and I have talked about the concept of pendulum swinging, you know, from enthusiasm to waning. And I think trust has a lot to do with that. So why don't you talk a little bit about, if at all, ChatGPT is affecting your business?
Yeah, I think the buzz around ChatGPT for us has been immensely positive. It's brought this into the forefront, this concept of conversational AI. We've been using that term for years. I mean, ever since we started the company, we've been talking about conversational AI, and people are like, what's that? What do you mean? So we've had to define it and explain it and things like that. But we've spoken about it for a long time, but people see ChatGPT, they get it right away. And ChatGPT is amazing, right? You can ask a question and it will give you this long, kind of this long form, full, rich response, right? And that's great. The problem is you don't know if the answer is true or if it was made up or hallucinated, and they call it in the AI world, right? You don't know if it was copyrighted. You don't know if it's the response that was best for your company, your business, or for a competitor, or perhaps maybe the highest bidder for that response, right? And if you ask the same question, literally 10 seconds later, you'll get a different answer. Right. All this means that while ChatGPT is really powerful, all of the AI tools that are like that, the LLM models are really powerful, you shouldn't trust generative AI, which is what ChatGPT is, to support your company and the brand the way you want, right? That's best for you. And in our world, we say, look, we don't use AI in that way. We're not going to generate the answer for AI. What we're going to use AI for is we're going to use AI to understand the need, combine it with identity, who you are, to deliver the exact answer that you want. We call these curated responses because we've worked with our clients to say, here's the best set of answers for this question, right, that someone has. And it's exactly what our clients want, because it's the right answer that's going to fulfill the customer need, but it's also the answer that's going to support that company and their brand in the way that they feel is most impactful, whatever that may be, right? So that's what we're doing. So we're creating that highly curated world of response, but we're using the AI where it's really, really powerful in extracting need and combining with identity.
And we've touched on this a little bit, but has there been a moment where it worked so well that it surprised you, that, you know, it did things that you didn't even realize, probably when you were tracking those IDKs? But what were those moments? Like, is there a story you can share with us where you're like, I just realized that it could also do this?
Well, I think that, you know, we did a bot early on with that was in Germany, and our bots are English only. That's where we found the AI to work the best. So we haven't ever really pushed it in that limit. Well, we did a bot that was actually in Germany, but it was English. It was English speaking. And we had people texting the bot in German. And the bot was coming up with the right answer. The AI was coming up with the right answer. We're going, wait, what happened? And we'd have to go in and we'd translate it. We'd try to figure out what was happening. So there was really kind of fascinating aspect of that that was happening, right? That you would see that. But it's interesting, you know, we're big in the events space. That's where we won our awards. That's where we built our technology, was around events. And like I described, that really hard to solve problem. But our longest lived customer is a company called Oak Street Health out of Chicago, and it has nothing to do with events. You know, it's a bot that we built to support their that company as they were growing and looking to engage with insurance agents, right? Oak Street Health is a really innovative Medicare Advantage model that serves underprivileged communities. They started in Chicago, they're all over the country now, but they have this amazing care model, and it's basically a clinic and a community center. Right. And what Oak Street was trying to do was say, look, I've got every year everybody has to re-enroll. Every senior citizen has to re-enroll in their Medicare Advantage plan. Right. And has to pick one, and they have to pick a primary care provider. And they said, well, we want them to pick us. But the insurance agents are the ones that sign up these patients and have to refer us. And we can't pay the insurance agents. We can't give them incentives. We can't do anything. They're independent. And so what they came to us, we built a bot called May. And I love May. May was named after Dr. Mae Jemison, the first African-American woman in space. And May worked on the web and through text. And she was hired to provide insurance agents with information about Oak Street, in the hope that they would be more likely to recommend them to their clients. And so that was where it started. And May could answer questions about the care model, or they had a video sizzle reel that you could show and talked about their clinics and the primary care providers and the hospitals and doctor numbers and all these things. Basically, the whole concept was, if I can make it easier for insurance agents to learn about Oak Street, to share it with their clients, then they're gonna be more likely to refer those patients, if you were, those clients to Oak Street. And so what was interesting to me was we did that in 2017. We launched just for 3 months of annual enrollment, and we turned it off. And during that time, it was really successful. It got a huge following of agents, but then they turned it off. And we said, okay, we'll turn it on again next year. And over the winter, and we just kind of watched it, and we said, wow, it turns out that people are still texting the bot. Now, the bot wasn't live, but we could see that the texts were coming in. And we went back to them, and we said, I think this bot needs to stay running. So we moved it from just annual enrollment to year round. It became a perpetual bot. It's been running since 2018 nonstop. And here's the fascinating thing to me, and we knew it would work, but we never knew at this level, right? So right now there are thousands of insurance agents that engage with May, okay? And when they send out a text, they send out a text, a targeted text to this group that'll say anything. They get 40 to 80% click-throughs. I just remember they sent a Thanksgiving message from the CEO. And it was just fascinating to me that they sent it out to the agents, and it was a short video, a minute or a minute and a half video, just saying thank you. You know, hey, thanks for being part of our, thanks for being a partner, if you will, for Oak Street. They sent that out, and the number was off the chart, 60, 70% click-through. And as a marketer, I don't know, Alicia, does that sound pretty impressive?
That's pretty huge.
I
mean, that's impressive.
Right? And so what, because you had that community, and the community starts to say, wow, I value this. I value what you're sending me. And so little things like that don't, you know, it's like, that's not spam. That was, oh, hey, thanks for thanking me. And you got that kind of engagement. And where do you get that? Where does that really happen? I mean, you know, it only happens when you actually are legitimately interested in serving that community. Not, oh, let me just kind of game it, and as soon as I can, I'm going to start hitting you up for stuff.
Yeah. Right?
No. Are you legitimately there to serve them? And if you're there to serve them, you're going to get more in return. And you know, we gave that, you know, the example of, we had a community here in Utah around youth lacrosse. And Premier Lacrosse League was coming in. They had the playoffs, and they came to us and they said, hey, you've got this community, and we want to give a special deal, you know, to them. If we want to promote ticket sales for Premier Lacrosse League in this community, could we send out a text? Like, sure, that makes sense. And we sent out a text to Intermountain Lacrosse. Two texts generated $100,000 in sales.
Because they wanted to go to the game. So they're like, yeah, I'll buy tickets to that.
Right. I mean, like, what we always say, what do you consider to be value? And so, and we've done this, we've shown this time and time again, right? But what is it? So a high value offer to the right community at the right time is going to get you the traction, the action that you're looking for. When you put those things together, that's value. And everyone who got that, no one got that text saying, how dare you communicate. You know, they're fans of lacrosse, their kids are, they may not be able to go to it, but they weren't offended by that, right? Because it was part of a larger community. That's what this is about. At its core, it's about building that community, delivering value. And when you deliver value to customers, they're more loyal. They're going to buy more from you over time. All of these things really, really fit together.
And, you know, I think I have another idea for a product for you. As you're describing Oak Street Health, I was just thinking, you know, like going into Home Depot and buying flooring tiles, or understanding like, hey, like you could, you know, that model that you set up with the insurance agents at Oak Street is very similar to what a lot of manufacturers go through with their distributors and wanting to educate them. We just recently did a website last year for NatureCast outdoor kitchen cabinets. And it, that would be really helpful, right? Like they're trying to communicate with their store retailers to be able to say, yeah, this is like, will this product work in the snow? Totally legit question. Could I have this in my outdoor kitchen in Ontario? Those are all questions that people have when they go into a store retailer like a Home Depot to buy a product. And they're like, but is this going to work for me? Or can I use this flooring product with in-floor heating? So I don't know, Chuck, that's probably going to be the next thing we need to tackle, is setting that up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's this years ago when I was consulting, you know, it would drive us crazy. You know, you buy a product and you have this little warranty card, right? And we would go into clients. I mean, it was with BCG when I worked for them, and you go into clients and you're like, you buy a blender and they give you, they put a card in the box and say, mail this card in for warranty, right? And you send it in, and it would drive us crazy that, wait, all of these people told you they bought your product because you didn't know otherwise, right? It was sold to a retailer. You had no identity. You didn't know who they were. You've got this vast group of known customers that you aren't engaging with in any way. Now, that was well before, you know, that was the early days of the internet. You couldn't email them. You didn't have that information. But even today, right, there's just such a, look, I love apps. I have no problem with apps. I have apps on my phone. You probably do, you know, and ones that you like, I go to these. But, you know, the idea that for whatever brand it is, that I'm going to download their app, you know, and go to that effort to connect with them, it's just not going to happen, right, for most things. What if instead of saying, send this in or go to this website and key all this stuff in, it just said, want to register? Text me. And instead of going to a website, it went to a bot, and it responded with, hey, thanks for texting. What can I help you with? And you said, oh, I want to register my product. And it said, oh, terrific. Hey, take a picture, you know, of your barcode. Well, I know the product from the barcode, right? I didn't have to enter a number in. Hey, take a picture of your barcode. Great, I got it. Thank you. Oh, I see you have this product. Okay. Could you either tell me information about yourself or maybe just scan your receipt or whatever it is, right? So I can grab all this information as low friction as possible. Say, oh, hey, would it be okay for me to check back with you in 30 days just to see what your experience is like? I'm not gonna bother you now, right? But what if, would you be offended by that as a customer? No, you would say, oh, that's okay.
I'd love it. Cause I'd be like, when this thing breaks, I know who I can text when this thing breaks, right?
Right. And so all of a sudden I've got a one-to-one connection, right? And if in 30 days you come back and you say, hey, would you mind telling me how your experience is? What have you liked so far? And you said, oh yeah, I like it, or oh, it sucks. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. You want to be at a take that and say, oh, I'm really sorry about that. Hey, could we have somebody call you? Could we have our product owner call you and say, hey, can you tell me a little bit about what your experience was? And maybe we can fix it or make it better. Wait, how does that change business? It changes everything, right, about business. If you make it low friction, easy to get information, easy to connect, and they feel like you're doing it for them, that's valuable. And then after the fact, what do you do? You say, oh, hey, would you like, you know, a discount, or would you like this, or I'll send you a gift, or whatever it is. There's other things you can do.
Every time before I buy an Apple product, I'm able to go onto the Apple app, and speak with a live agent who is immediately there to answer my questions. But most small businesses do not have this capacity, and their live agents aren't available all year round, all day long, any time of day. I think we're also attracted to AI because the AI response can actually respond faster than a human and handle more conversations than once. No small business is able to compete with the resources that Apple can throw at that live agent experience. However, with 42chat, there is a way that you can have that same answer any question, anytime, all around the clock response immediately with lots of people on the line at the same time without having to have that same human resources scale. Maybe you can't answer any question, but in order to be able for the bot to say, I can answer these 20 questions, and every time you ask me a question I don't know the answer to, I'm going to tell you I don't know the answer, not make one up or source it from a competitor's website. I'm going to tell you I don't know the answer, and I'm going to let my agent review it and retrain the bot to give the answer. I don't think any of us are going to fear the threat of AI if we know that it is going to be something that doesn't feel like AI to the customer, that it's going to be something that provides value to the customer, that it is going to make everybody's lives easier, but that we can trust the information. And having that information pre-populated with your answers makes me feel way more self-assured in the fact that it's going to be a good quality experience for the user as well as for our company. You're going to get the right answer that I've approved at the right time. This is a really great example of how we can make sure that we use AI to turn customers towards us instead of away from us. We've talked about examples in the event industry, so those are some innovative ways, but I wouldn't say stop there. In terms of what 42chat is doing, if you are a company that has something that you know lots of people are going to have questions about and it would be valuable to them to ask a question and get an immediate answer, this is definitely a solution you should be looking at in terms of making your life easier from an internal company point of view, as well as easier for your leads and customers. Don't stop at the use cases we've given you. Reach out to 42chat and see what's possible for your brand.
Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.